All right, Romans chapter 8 again, verse 1. I'm just reading that verse as a starting point. Romans 8, verse 1. The apostle pens these words, "There is therefore now no condemnation to who? To them which are in Christ Jesus."
Amen.
Now, some people have said it this way, and it's not necessarily bad, but some people say it this way for different reasons. But it can be said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus," period.
Yeah.
Because the lack of condemnation has to do with being in Christ.
Exactly. That's it.
It doesn't have to do with the last part of the verse. The last part of the verse describes who is in Christ.
Exactly.
"There is therefore now," now. There was at one time condemnation to them.
Yeah.
But remember, not before God.
Exactly.
God, as we see, as Paul goes on to say, concerning these people who were foreknown, predestinated, just called, justified, glorified, God has always been for them.
Yes, sir.
The condemnation Paul is talking about here is what Joe talked about.
Yeah.
That personal sense of condemnation. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
There is nothing, certainly nothing we can do to remove God's condemnation. If God condemns me, there's nothing I can do that's going to remove that condemnation.
Exactly.
The only thing that could remove that condemnation is a perfect, absolute sacrifice.
Exactly.
I would have to be able to atone for whatever caused God to condemn me for.
Yeah.
God will not just let it go.
Exactly.
And let me just say, that same thing is true concerning what God does to us.
Sir.
You see, God, some people may wonder, why did Christ come and have to die? Why didn't God just turn people around?
Yeah.
Why don't God just cause them to repent and believe and then change from there on out?
Yeah.
Well, that would not have atoned for what happened before.
Exactly.
You know? And God does not pass over something that happened in the past because something better now is happening in the future.
Exactly.
Or at this time or in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's not to even mention our inability to continually do what's right in the future. The truth of Scripture is, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus."
Yeah.
If a person is truly in Christ Jesus, they can know no condemnation. That is K-N-O-W, no condemnation.
Amen.
This is why Paul says, a lot of people talk about getting out of chapter 8 and into chapter 7, but chapter 8 and 7 are intertwined together.
Yes, sir.
The experience is. Because he says, look at it, verse 24 of the preceding chapter. "O wretched man that I used to be." Is that what he says?
Not exactly.
No. "O wretched man that I am."
Amen.
He still felt that.
Yeah.
He still knew that to be true when he penned those words.
Yes, sir.
Right? "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And they talk as though chapter 7 is all defeat.
Yeah.
And it's all bad. Well, actually, and then in chapter 8, you see all of a sudden you see begin to see victory. Well, wait a minute. We ain't got to chapter 8 yet.
Yeah.
See, that's the whole problem. They actually think that chapter 7 and 8
yeah.
are different.
Yeah.
When 7 and 8, Paul didn't even write chapter 7, right? Now chapter 8.
Exactly.
Men put this in there simply as an aid to help find passages faster.
Oh, yeah.
That's all it's for.
Yeah.
"Look, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God." Right there is victory already, Jay. We ain't even got to chapter 8 yet.
That's right.
"I thank God," how? "Through my walk." Huh? Even a spirit-led walk, huh? Is that what? No. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord."
Amen.
"So then with my mind I serve." Now he did not say obey.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, and we'll get into this in a little more detail here in a few minutes, but a lot of people think, well, chapter 7, here's a believer who can't do what's right. They just don't know how to do what's right. And that's not all what Paul says. Chapter 7 is the believer realizing how corrupt they are outside of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Outside of the person and work of Jesus Christ, I am a am, not was, but I am a wretched man.
Yes, sir.
I am flesh, and in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing.
Amen.
Being saved, even being delivered, that's the same word, but
yeah.
Most people don't seem to know that. For them, saved is when you what happens to you when you walk forward and pray the prayer. But being delivered does not deliver me from the flesh.
Yeah.
It delivers me into Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
You see? So with my mind, I serve. Now what's it about to serve? Chapter 7, verse 25. The word means to be enslaved to.
Yeah.
And thus, to minister to.
Yeah.
Now folks, God's people who know the law, who've heard the law, they've had the law spoken to them, read to them, you know, preached to them. Not as law, but not as redemption, but as law. They know the law is what? Holy, just, and good.
Amen.
And we know this. If I could keep it,
yeah.
If we could keep it, we would.
Yes, sir.
But we know we cannot.
Exactly.
So we don't even try.
We
don't keep the law in any way, fashion, or form.
That's
we
right.
Serve the law by honoring the law for what it's really there for.
Yes.
To condemn the flesh.
Yes.
To show us what sin really is.
Yes, sir.
Paul said there was a time when I didn't know what sin was till I heard the law. Then the law defined what sin is.
Exactly.
I've heard men say this, make this statement, and there's some truth to it, but the way they said it, I'm afraid they were wrong. They were talking about law and grace. And I'm not sure if they even believe in a law work, because I've heard it said that the sacrifice of Christ at Calvary is enough to show us how bad sin is. That's true. The sacrifice of Christ at Calvary is enough, even if I didn't know anything about the law. If I simply knew Christ had to do this because of some sin.
Yeah.
Jay, that shows me how heinous sin must be.
Yeah.
If it took that to take care of it.
Yes, sir.
But that's Christ's sacrifice, doesn't define for me what sin is.
That's true.
I wouldn't know if this is a sin or that's a sin.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what's right and what's wrong.
Somebody
says everyone knows that intuitively. That's not so. Everyone has the law written in their hearts. Even the heathen. Paul starts this book out with that, right?
Yes, sir.
Even the heathen who know not the law have the law written in their heart, but they do what? They either accuse or excuse one another.
Exactly.
Because they really don't know what is right and wrong. Conscience may tell men, unless it's seared, this is wrong. And men as groups, when they gather together, say their conscience not being seared, well, that's wrong. We ought not do that. That's not acceptable among us, right? But conscience can also be wrong.
Exactly.
You know?
That's it.
Conscience can be wrong. This is evidenced by different societies. Some societies hold certain things to be wrong when others do not. And other societies hold certain things to be right when others do not. The only way we know what is right and what is wrong is, first of all, the first thing that really told us that was law.
Yes, sir.
Law came right alongside of sin and said, here's exactly what sin is.
Yeah.
And it defines it in detail.
Yes, sir.
No, this is not somehow this poor, trodden down Christian that can't do what they're supposed to, and all of a sudden they realize who Christ really is or what he's done, and now I can actually do what's right.
Yeah.
There's only one way to do what's right. That's to believe God concerning his son.
Yeah. Amen.
Because everything else we do is tainted by what we are in Adam. Even as our Lord said, and I don't believe he was being melodramatic by any means, he told the disciples, and I have reason to believe it's as applicable to us today as it was them then. When you've done all that is your duty to do, when you've done it.
Yes, sir.
When you've done all that is your duty to do, we are still to say what? We are but unprofitable servants.
Amen.
How do we serve the law? Because we serve the law by acknowledging its character.
Yeah.
It's holy, just, and good. I'm not.
Yeah.
We serve the law by acknowledging our character.
Yeah.
In my flesh, in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Being delivered doesn't deliver us from the flesh. It delivers us into Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's something I think most people have no idea what they're what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They think being saved is being delivered from self. We'll only be delivered from self when Christ comes again.
Amen.
We are not delivered from self. We're delivered into Christ.
Yes.
That's what salvation's all about.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear people, they think they're saved because they used to be a drunk.
Yeah. You're
they
right.
think they're saved because they used to be a drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
And after they quit being one, they believe something about God. They believe something about Jesus. You see, that's not the point. I know a man who found who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then he got drunk afterward.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what it says.
Right?
Yeah.
Huh?
That's exactly what it says.
And you know what? He still found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
He's still spoken of as a man of faith.
Yes, sir.
Ain't he?
Yeah.
Somebody says, you're excusing sin. No, I'm saying Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh, hung on that cross, laid down his life. He shed his blood for that sin. It's atoned for.
Amen.
God says it's finished. It's done. Okay?
Amen.
Now, the thing for me, if I'm guilty of one of those sins, Ellen, I need to know about it.
Yeah.
If I'm one of those people that Christ died for, I need to know about it. And as Paul said, with my mind I'll serve the law of God, but with the flesh, what am I going to serve?
Yeah.
He ain't even going to try to make the flesh obey.
Exactly.
The flesh is going to serve the law of sin.
Exactly.
I'll give you a quote from a man called John Newton. You know who he was, right? The one that wrote Amazing Grace. I heard this quote from a woman on TV on the Today Show the other day.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this. So I haven't read a lot of John Newton, but you can check it. You'll find out it's there. She wrote this book about grace, and she was on giving an interview. She mentioned something and that John Newton told another fella, and she gave his name. It may have been, and then lost the guy's name, but one of his friends, and the guy was just like totally nervous about sinning. You know,
yeah.
And let me tell you, that's bondage.
Yeah.
If you're constantly worried, if I sin, God may, you know, hammer down on me, you know.
Yeah.
This is a guy, and John Newton says, don't you believe in free sovereign grace?
Exactly.
Don't you believe in election? Now, she didn't quote all of it.
Yeah.
But don't you believe in the grace we preach, God's sovereign election, redemption by Christ? He said, if you're going to sin, sin boldly. Huh?
Yeah.
You understand what he's saying? Can you understand what he's saying?
Yeah.
He didn't say, if you're going to sin, just have all the fun. If you're going to sin, sin boldly. Because if you sin, it's sin. No matter how much you tried to keep from doing it, if you do it, you're guilty.
Yes, sir.
No matter how much you meant not to,
yeah.
If you do it, you're guilty. You're just as guilty if you didn't mean for it to happen.
Yeah.
And the fact is, in the flesh, we always not only mean for it to happen, we want it to happen. That's what the flesh is. It feeds upon flesh. It feeds upon unrighteousness and worldliness and ungodliness. And that's all it will ever feed upon. At best, all we can do is mortify our members.
Yeah. That's it.
That's the appendages of the flesh.
Yeah.
Those things that begin to creep out of the flesh. Those open manifestations of the corruption of the flesh.
Yeah.
You can't kill the flesh. It's
there.
But you can mortify the members.
Yes, sir.
Fornication, adultery, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, so on. Theft, murders, right on down the line. But notice Paul said, he didn't say, I keep the law.
Yeah.
I serve it.
Amen.
I serve it. We also know that. So listen, how do we serve the law? By acknowledging its character, by acknowledging our character, and by acknowledging the law's death sentence. On the flesh. Now let me tell you something. The law doesn't have a death sentence on the child of God.
No, sir.
It has a death sentence over the flesh of the child of God.
Yes, that's it.
And it always does.
Yes, sir.
And it always will. Yeah. I am freed from the law, but my flesh ain't.
Exactly.
My flesh ain't. I'm freed from the law because I'm in Christ.
Amen.
For he says, as he explains, verse 2, "For here's why there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law," and here he means law, he's talking about the authority of. Yeah. He's talking about this authoritative truth. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus." Now he didn't say living in Christ Jesus, though we do. But it is the actual giving of life in Christ Jesus. "Hath what? Made me free from the law of sin and death."
Amen.
"For," he's adding more to now, "for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us," not by us,
exactly,
"but fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit."
Amen.
Now, most of you may have Bibles that have references. And most of you who have Bibles, who have references, probably find, whether it's the last phrase of chapter 8, verse 1, or the last phrase of chapter 8, verse 4, will refer you over to Galatians chapter 5. But that is not an equal correlation. Okay? It is different to walk after the Spirit than it is to walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
To walk in speaks of a realm. And in Galatians 5, Paul says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
And that's if you're walking in the Spirit, he doesn't say the lust of the flesh won't be there, mm-hmm, but you won't fulfill them.
Exactly.
That is different than walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, because that's simply not talking about a realm, but being pulled along by. To walk after means you're behind and something is in front of you, right?
Yeah.
To walk after.
Yeah.
It leads the way. Well, it's to walk after the Spirit.
Sorry.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What leads these people?
Yeah. That's it.
That's actually the better question, is who leads these people? He tells us, verse 14, right? Mm-hmm. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God."
Amen.
Now, the old song says, "Sons we are by God's election, who in Jesus Christ believed." It's not quite doctrinally true. It's okay, but it's not quite. We are sons of God through regeneration.
Yeah.
We are the children of God by election. Because sonship is something you experienced that had to do with the adoption.
Yes.
We weren't adopted in eternity, we're adopted in time.
Yep.
But we were chosen in eternity.
Exactly.
So it's those that are, now there are some who are chosen of God, but they're not yet led by the Spirit.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
They are the children of God, but they're not yet the sons of God.
Amen.
But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you get that?
Yeah.
That's the truth there.
That's it.
This is the difference. When we read this, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled not by us, but it's fulfilled in us.
Yes.
And it doesn't say if we walk, mm-hmm, right? Or it doesn't say because we walk, but who?
Yes.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit? For they that are after the flesh, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
They're going to mind the things of the flesh. If your life is centered around self and flesh, then you are after the flesh. You are dead.
Yeah.
You don't have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But if you walk after the Spirit, you're alive. You're freed. And there is a difference. Now, as I said, you remember what I mentioned last week, and I'll mention it again. Somebody says, or I could say about someone, "I seen what they did." But remember, it's not one or two snapshots we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And it's odd. And as I said last week, I'm not going to be able to preach this message so that everyone who hears it and really pays attention to it and really understands it, they're going to know for sure for the rest of their life whether or not they're in Christ Jesus. And we'll be fixed up if we can get a hold of this. Because the problem is, I read in the scripture of a man called Balaam. And you go back, and I'm not going to read it, but you go back and read his first message he ever, he was a prophet.
Yes, sir.
And read the first message he ever preached.
Oh, yeah.
He preached free reigning grace, folks.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so much so that when somebody told him, "Here, I'll give you some money if you go curse those folks,"
yeah,
he said, "It wouldn't do no good. I can't curse what God's blessed."
Amen. That's what he said.
He wasn't no Arminian.
No.
Was he? He wasn't no free willer. No, he refused to do this in the beginning because he said, "I can't curse what God's blessed." Mm-hmm. Well, you read that message and you think, boy, that was some believer right there. Mm-hmm. Come to find out later, he's a daggone apostate.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
We find out he was an apostate.
Yeah.
See, the question is, who's taking the pictures and who's the one that's concerned with the pictures?
Yeah. Exactly.
The point is, we're not the one with the camera and we're not the ones that decides what snapshots are good and what snapshots are not.
Exactly.
God Almighty is.
Yes, sir.
Huh? I would think, now I don't know this, but I think most everyone here probably believes that if you're born into this world, God Almighty ordained that you be born into this world.
Yes,
before
sir.
You were ever born into this world.
Yes, sir.
I'll give you something to chew on. Solomon was born into this world.
Yes, sir.
Who was his mommy?
Yeah, exactly.
Just think about that.
Yeah, that's it.
Just think about that. God determined that two groups of people, one of them I believe is called Moab, the other one I can't think of, he determined those two nations come into this world.
Yeah.
They were born to the daughters of Lot.
Yeah.
Go back and look, find out how they got pregnant.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Like Tim James says, this is basically what he was saying, man, I've been an exact quote, God Almighty is sovereign in all things.
Yes, sir.
But he's fixed it. So that anything I do bad, I can't blame him for it.
Exactly.
And anything I do good, I can't take credit for it.
Exactly.
And somebody says, I don't believe that, that's tough, it's still true.
Yes, sir.
And don't try to figure it out. Don't try to say, I got to make this fit in my little box so I understand it. God is past his ways. He sums it up. He does sum it up. When he talks about all this thing of certain people believing, other people not believing, and they don't believe because God Almighty ordained they wouldn't believe.
Yes, sir.
He ordained that a certain group of Jews wouldn't believe, so a certain group of Gentiles would be brought in and believe in their place.
Yes, sir.
That's what it says, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Romans chapter 11. And then he says, verse 33, oh, the depths and riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So just stop trying to.
Exactly.
Just believe God.
Amen.
Now I know, see, the flesh is, but I don't like that kind of God. Tough. That's who he is.
Yeah.
That's who he is. He ordained that some people go to hell. He ordained some people go to heaven.
Yeah.
Or they wouldn't. And they couldn't. You see, if God purposed that everybody go to heaven, and they don't, then that has to say who is to blame.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? Yeah. I mean, if he purposed for everybody to go to heaven, and let me add, through the death of Jesus Christ, and he purposed that everybody believe on Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
and they don't,
yeah.
then he's to blame.
Yes, sir.
But if he purposed to save some through Christ,
yes, sir.
Then he gets the glory. And if he's purposed to damn others because of sin, they get the judgment because it's their sin.
Yes, sir.
That's not human reasoning. That's scriptural logic.
That's it.
The human mind, the flesh still does not lay hold of that and say, oh, great justice.
No, not exactly.
Because the human mind is centered around self. I deserve a chance.
Yeah.
And what Paul realized here in chapter 7, I don't deserve nothing.
Exactly.
I deserve condemnation.
Amen.
That's it. But God didn't give it to me. He sent his son to de-wed me from the law.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right?
Yes, sir.
We, it, Look at what he says. Chapter 7. I'm not going to get to those four things I was going to try to get to. Chapter 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law.
Yeah.
How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Yeah. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. Mm-hmm. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband.
Yeah.
So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore? Now that's, Paul is not simply trying to symbolize the law as a symbol. He's saying this is the fact of the law.
Yeah.
It's still the fact of the law.
Yes, sir.
God hadn't changed that for believers.
No.
The law, still the law, still the law. Okay? But he is making a point. There is a point here. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another.
Amen.
You see that?
Yes, sir.
In God's purpose, justly so, I am dead to the law.
Amen.
The law does not exist for me as a way of righteousness. The law has no more claim on me. I am now married to Christ.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what that says?
Yes,
now, when am I free from Christ?
Yeah, exactly.
Same law applies.
Yeah.
When can I ever be freed from Christ? Well, when you sin. Uh-uh. The only time I could be free. Now, somebody said, well, you know, if the woman sins, she could be put away. Christ said that wasn't originally God's purpose concerning the law. He said, God allowed Moses to write that into the law because of the hardness of your blessed hearts. You're not willing to forgive.
Exactly.
Right?
That's it.
You know, people say, well, adultery is the one reason or allowance for divorce. Well, you know, it is allowed, but it's still not the perfect way.
Yeah.
It's still not the right way.
That's it.
There is never, ever an excuse for divorce. Now, if we're guilty of it, bless God, we're just guilty of it. We best just confess that we're guilty of it and go on and believe God, right?
Amen.
That's all I can tell you.
Yes, sir.
I know what I'm talking about. It's my only hope.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
It's my only hope because I'm guilty. I can't take that back. I can't change it.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about this from real life.
Yes, sir.
If that's not true, I'm damned. But here's the thing. If I am married to Christ, when can I ever be out of Him, lose Him?
Yeah.
Only after He dies.
Yeah.
And the Scripture says He ever liveth.
Amen.
I'm His whether I like it or not.
Exactly.
Well, huh? I'm serious.
That's it.
Does that mean I don't like it? No.
No.
Not at all. Because He's the perfect husband.
Yes, sir.
We're not. Never have been, never will be.
That's right.
If your wife ever says that about you, she's lying on you.
Yeah.
She's got the dirt and hiding it on you somewhere and will spring it out on you.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing goes the other way. You know what I'm saying? Well, I got a perfect husband. Well, I know what you're doing. You're saving up the ammo. you're putting him at ease. That's what's happening. I'm serious. People will brag about you to other people.
Yeah.
But they'll be stashing away the goods in their pocket. Until that last moment comes when they can't take it no longer, then bang.
Yes, sir.
They pull it out on you. I've seen it happen.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it happen. Oh, but let's get back to that. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to Him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And I'll use the phrase Joe used. That the preacher told him, if you're one of God's, you will.
Yeah.
You'll bring forth fruit.
Yes, sir.
And Scripture says it bringeth forth fruit, how? In His season.
Exactly.
When God Almighty ordained for that fruit. Not when I think it ought to happen.
No.
Not when I expect it to happen, but when God Almighty ordained it to happen.
Yes, sir.
He says in Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, the faith of the grace, either one.
Exactly.
Grace is what God gives, and faith is what God gives.
Yes.
Let me just stop a moment and say there are people who believe with fleshly faith.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're lost. They're people who believe with a faith that is the fruit of the Spirit. They're saved.
Yes, sir.
And it's hard to tell the difference.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when it first springs up.
Yeah.
Right? There's a parable that teaches us that, right?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
Let both, don't pluck them up right yet. Well, wait a minute. That's the tare right there. Wait a minute. Be careful. Because you pluck up a tare, that's all well and good. But if you by mistake reach down and try to pluck up one of God's corns, one of His wheats, rather, you're hurting.
Yes, sir.
God will break your fingers.
That's right.
So Christ just said, let the two grow together. When? How long? Until the end.
Yes, sir.
Until the end.
Yeah.
Well, after it gets so tall, can't you tell the difference? Yeah, but so could everybody else.
Yep.
So could everybody else. Don't need to pluck. We can tell the difference now. It'll eventually show itself.
Yes, sir.
It says that God's going to send the angels. He'll gather up the tares, put them in bundles, and what? Cast them into the fire.
Yes, sir.
Now, see, it's not up to me or you to be running around trying to prove to ourselves who's in Christ and who's not in Christ.
Exactly.
But what we are to do is to talk about the characteristics of those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes. They're married to Christ. They're going to bring forth fruit to God.
Yes, sir.
They will.
Sir.
And if they seem to start doing it, but then can quit,
yeah,
then you got to hold them suspect.
Amen.
Right?
That's what it says.
Then you got to hold them suspect. And there are certain people who can go so far that you have to just let them go. And the Apostle Paul said, if a man is a heretic after the first and second admonition, you reject him.
Yes, sir.
Does that prove he's lost? Mm-mm. No. That proves he's a heretic.
Exactly.
A man that's a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't say, well, just keep after him. Try to win his soul to let him go.
That's right.
But he also said, and Joe mentioned it, but let's see if I can find that passage, because there's something I want to show you there. What is the passage? Do you quote it, where the Lord knoweth them that it is? Is it 2 Timothy? Yeah. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says in verse 15, so we can get somewhat of the context here. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, which concerning the truth have erred.
Yeah.
Okay? Saying that the resurrection is past already. And what do?
Yeah.
They overthrow the faith of some.
Yeah.
Now, we're not just talking about old Hymenaeus and Philetus, but their doctrine has affected other people.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless,
The
foundation of God stand the sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His.
Amen.
You see that? What if one of God's have been... have their faith overthrown. God knows them.
Amen. That's it.
And you know what? What if a couple people over here wasn't overthrown? That still don't mean they really got it either, does it?
Exactly.
Huh?
That's it.
Remember, a lot of people, they're not going to have their faith overthrown. They're going to have their faith right up to the end till they knock on the door and say, Lord, Lord, let us in.
Exactly.
And He said, no.
Yeah.
I never knew you. You're a worker of iniquity. Look at it. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Amen.
But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. But seek the right way. That's basically what he goes on to say.
Yes, sir.
Right? If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, that is love, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now let me see that. I want y'all to show me your pure heart.
Exactly. Yeah.
You better hope God's the one that sees that pure heart.
You got that right.
Well, I can't show you mine.
Yeah.
And you can't show me yours. You know, the fact, you know, probably every one of us here probably got some Christmas presents this year, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
You know what we really deserve, don't you? The coal bucket with coal in it.
Mm-hmm.
Just one lump at best. Better find out who's naughty or nice, you know?
Yeah.
let me tell you something, ain't none of us deserve anything.
Exactly.
And that's something that, yes, God's people are to set themselves to walk a certain way.
Yes, sir.
All right? They are to set themselves to put away certain things, right?
Yes, sir.
The flee useful lust, follow after righteousness, faith, charity on them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions, what's it say?
Yeah.
Avoid them.
Avoid
them. Well, I've got to figure this out. No, you don't. If you don't already know a little bit of something about it, let it alone.
Yeah.
You'll confuse yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what you'll do.
Oh, yeah.
But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth.
Amen.
Now, see, right there, he said, you go ahead and teach them, preach to them,
yeah.
Minister to them, try to be kind to them, meek with them, gentle with them, and if God will. Every preacher, almost every preacher I listen to today says, God wants you to do this, and God wants you to do that.
Yeah.
Right here's one thing, if God peradventure,
yeah.
It's up to Him.
Yes, sir.
In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the, not because they acknowledge, but to the acknowledging.
Yeah.
They got to give this repentance so that they can acknowledge the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Right? Who does Paul depend on here to accomplish these things?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Yeah.
God himself.
Amen.
Right? Not the people. Well, here you got somebody and it just seems like they're on the wrong path. They're on the wrong road. But just keep on doing the same old thing you do. Just keep on.
Mm-hmm.
Keep on. Keep on trying. Keep on trying to help. And you know what? It's all up to God. If they're one of His, He'll correct them.
Yeah.
That's what the book says. He will correct if they're not. If they're a bastard, He'll let them go.
Yes, sir. That's what I
said. And a bastard will die as a bastard.
Exactly.
And will suffer in hell as a bastard. You know, there are people that are illegitimate.
Yeah.
They look like the children of God. They may even live better than some of the children of God.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they may actually have more works than some of the children of God. Those folks that knock at the door had many, right?
Yeah.
Wonderful ones.
Yeah.
Preaching, healing, casting out devils. And Christ called it iniquity.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's, as I said, I've said that I think every Sunday, and I'm going to say it again. That's scary.
Yeah. Well,
you know why it's scary? Because, bless God, it forces you to trust Christ.
Yes, sir.
Don't it?
Yeah.
You going to trust one of your wonderful works?
Don't think so.
Those people did, and look where they end up at. It's dangerous. Be careful.
Yes, sir.
You going to trust Christ. It's going to force you to trust Christ. Not even those good works which He before ordained that we want, we don't even trust in them. We trust in Christ.
Amen.
And you know what? When you trust in Christ, you can't help but love Him.
That's it.
Serve Him. Yeah. Follow after Him.
Yes, sir.
You can't help but want to. Want to. You may not always do it. What you do want to do is Galatians 5.
Yeah.
To walk in the Spirit. So that you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yes, sir.
Because there's nothing more. There's nothing that brings a child of God down more than knowing they have failed the Lord of glory.
Mm-hmm.
And brought shame and dishonor to His name.
Yeah.
If you're a child of God and you've ever sinned, you know that feeling. If you don't, you're lost.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do it and that you like it and you enjoy it, you're lost. That's all there is to it. And that's not trying to be mean. That's trying to be honest. That's trying to do what? Peradventure.
Yeah.
Warn them.
Yeah.
Peradventure.
Exactly.
Peradventure. Now let me quote it again because it's the only hope we got. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You better find out whether you're in Christ or not.
Exactly.
Don't try to figure out everything else in this world. Don't try to figure out everything else in the Bible. Our Lord gave these words to some people, and it's good words. Search the Scriptures.
Yes, sir.
Right? Search them. He didn't just say read the Bible. Now, reading the Bible is all right. But he said search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify me.
Amen.
Search the Scriptures for Christ. Isn't that what he's saying?
Yes, sir.
Seek Christ. Don't try to figure out who you are and who God is. It's enough to know this. God is everything and I am nothing. God deserves all honor and praise and glory, and I deserve nothing but damnation.
That's right.
Period.
That's it.
His Son is to be honored. Believe Him. Father, I pray as we continue here together that we can fellowship in the truth of Thy Son. Lord, that we may find that sweet, not just find it, but Lord, experience again that sweet union that Job spoke of, that sense of fellowship in the gospel, that thing that joins us together. And Lord, help us to encourage one another. We are such sinful creatures, so prone to sin, prone to failure, prone to fall. But yet we know that You uphold us with Your hand. I thank You in Christ's name. Amen.